Hello and welcome to my preview for 2022 and the UFC rankings. So today I'm going to go through each one of the weight classes. We're going to look at the current standings, who's matched up for the new year, and what matchups would make sense to, you know, to move forward in those weight classes. I'm on the Sports Geeta website. I have all of the rankings pulled up here as well as all my notes in front of me. The reason I like this website is because it shows me who they fought last as well as who they're matched up against next. And a lot of these weight classes are not very heavily matched at all. If we start with the strawweight division, this is a prime example. The top seven, including the champion, are not matched for the new year. The only matchup going forward in the new year is Amanda Ribas taking on Michelle Waterson, which is number 8 against number 9. That's at Fight Night 206. Above them, everybody else's matchup is to be determined. Now, as far as the champion Rose, of course she's got 2 wins over Wei Li. She's holding the top of this division quite securely. The next fight that makes sense is Carla Esparza, because this would be a rematch from the Ultimate Fighter 20. It was a fight that Rose lost and would most definitely like to get back on her record, especially if she can defend her belt against Carla Esparza. That's the clear contender. Carla Esparza's on a 5-fight win streak. I just think it's a fight that makes sense at this point, as well as, you know, Carla Esparza being a strong wrestler and Rose now being much more of a striker than she was at previous times. You know, this time I think she's got more tools in the bag, and I think Carla Esparza is a better version of herself. If I look down the division, though, there are a couple of other matchups I would like to make. The next clear contender for me in this division is Marina Rodriguez. She's currently ranked at number 3. And she does need another opportunity to defeat someone, you know, above her, which, you know, is either Wei Li or Esparza. And I think if Esparza takes on Rose, then that leaves Zhang Wei Li to take on Marina Rodriguez. That's number 1 against number 3 in the division. And I think, you know, with Rodriguez being 15-1 and 2 is a record against Wei Li, who is now is 21-3. That is an obvious matchup to make, and that would allow Marina Rodriguez to progress towards a title shot if she's able to get a win over Wei Li. And one other matchup I would like to see, which is number 4 against number 5, and that's Yan Xiaonan against Mackenzie Dern. They're both coming off a loss to Carla and to Rodriguez, but I do feel like they're both still top contenders in this division, maybe just a slight stage behind the ones above. But that is the strawweight division as it is right now. So if we move on to the flyweight division. So the flyweight division is quite well matched. We've got 4 matchups in the top 15 at flyweight. So we currently have Caitlin Chookagian's fighting Jennifer Maia. So that's number 2 against number 4. We have Viviane Araujo taking on Alexa Grasso, number 6 against number 11. Jessica Rai taking on Manon Farrow, number 9 against number 14. And Roxanne Modafferi taking on Casey O'Neill, number 12 against number 15. So lots of good matchups already made there. This division's a bit stuck, though, given the fact that Shevchenko's had 6 title defenses and no one can get nearer. She's shutting this division down. So what we do need to do is look down the division and maybe see what contenders we're going to get emerging in the coming months. Now, Araujo is a good option. She's 10-3 currently, and she's fighting Alexa Grasso. But if she loses to that, Grasso's down at 11. That's really going to affect Araujo's progress towards the belt and does a lot for Alexa Grasso. We also have Tyler Santos, and this is the fighter, in my opinion, that we all need to keep an eye on this division, because if anybody is going to make their way to a fight against Shevchenko and potentially cause us some problems, it is Tyler Santos. Now, looking above her in the division, Jennifer Maia and Chookagian are already matched. Lauren Murphy's just coming off a loss, and I think I would like to see her fight Andrea Lee again, personally. But I think Tyler Santos against Jessica Andrade is the one that makes the most sense. It'd be a very explosive matchup. Neither of them are matched currently. Number 1 against number 5. And I feel like that's a fight that Santos can win. She would go to a 5-fight win streak, and that puts her head and shoulders in the next line for a title shot. We don't want to see Shevchenko fighting the same fighters over and over again. So even if Chookagian and Maia, even the winner out of Chookagian and Maia, that doesn't really make sense to put them back into a title shot. Same situation with Andrade. She's coming off that win over Calvillo, but it also makes sense for her to get another win. And if she's able to beat Tyler Santos, who's sitting at number 5, that puts Andrade back in a strong position as well. So she's not looking too far down the rankings, but she does have probably the toughest test in the division, in my opinion. Really interested to see how this division plays out. Now, I don't think there's a clear challenger for Valentina Shevchenko. I think the obvious option, if Amanda Nunes doesn't want to go straight into a rematch with Pena, is that Shevchenko moves up a division and fights for the belt there. I mean, she's untouchable in the flyweight division at the moment. So moving up to bantamweight and taking on the new champion, of course, it would cause a bit of chaos, but, you know, that is MMA after all. And if Nunes isn't ready to step in immediately, then, you know, I would like to see that fight happen. Moving on to the bantamweight division, again, a division that's not particularly well matched. We only have one matchup in the bantamweight division, and that's Sarah McMahon at number 9 taking on Carol Rosa at number 15. I expect Pena and Nunes to rematch almost immediately. The only reason I don't think that would happen is if Nunes doesn't want to, doesn't feel ready to, wants to take some time out. You know, I'm not sure exactly if she's going to be keen to jump immediately back in there. But if she is, I'm sure it's in her contract, and I'm sure she'll get that immediate rematch. If that doesn't happen, as I've said, I wouldn't mind seeing Pena against Shevchenko. I also would like to see Holly Holm back in there in competition at the top as well. And if she doesn't get the fight against Juliana Pena, then, you know, she's got to look at somebody else in the division. She's on a 2-fight win streak at the moment, and I feel like, you know, the only real obvious fighter for her to take on would be Caitlin Vera. If we look at the rankings as they are at the moment, we can see Holly Holm's in there at number 2 on a 2-fight win streak. And then a bit further down at number 5, we've got Caitlin Vera at number 5 on a 1-fight win streak. That's the fight that makes sense to me. I'm not exactly sure what's happening with Irene Aldana. I would like to see her back in competition, but she's been out for some time, and it would be interesting to see where she's at. The one other matchup that makes sense to me is Kunitskaya against Misha Tate. Two fighters that are, you know, competitive in the top 10, 8-6 currently, both coming off a loss. Perhaps we can make that one happen. Okay, let's move on to the men's flyweight division. Flyweight rankings. Now, this is a division that is really heavily matched. We've got Brandon Moreno rematching Figueiredo at UFC 270. We've got Alex Perez taking on Matt Schnell, so that's number 4 against number 9. That's at UFC 271. Brandon Royval against Rogério Bontorin, number 5 against number 7. It's a hell of a fight. And then a recent one that's just been made is number 2 ranked Askar Askarov is taking on Kai Kara France, coming off that big win over Cody Garbrandt. So looking at the top 15, it leaves a couple of guys spare. It leaves Alejandro Pantoja kind of sitting there with no opponent. And I that to me suggests that he's the next in line for a title shot. I know Askarov is above him, but as I just said, he's matched with Kai Kara France. He also missed weight in his last fight as well, and that was about 12 months ago. So if I'm the UFC, I'm thinking, right, I need him to step on the scales on weight within the last couple of months before I'm matching him for a title shot. Askarov is 14-0-1. His one draw is against Brandon Moreno. Alejandro Pantoja has a win over Moreno. So if Moreno beats Figueiredo this next time around, that puts him in a strong position to make an argument for a title shot. Not so easy if Davidson Figueiredo wins, because Figueiredo has already beaten Pantoja. But again, that was a little while ago. I still feel like Pantoja's in a very strong position, followed closely by Askarov if he gets the win over Kai Kara France. We're looking further down the division for guys that aren't matched. Now, Mateus Nicolau's coming off a win over Tim Elliott, and he's unmatched. 17-2-1 is his record currently. He's on a 4-fight win streak. He's beat Manel Kapp and Tim Elliott since coming into the UFC. A very, very strong contender. I think he's probably going to wait for the next round of matchups. I think he last fought in September, October. So he's not desperate for a match immediately. I think he can wait around until these four matchups at the top of the division have played out, and then he can pick off one of the contenders. The only other matchup really that makes sense is number 10 against number 11, and that's David Dvorak, 20-3 is his record, against Amir Albazi at 14-1. So Albazi's on a 3-fight win streak. His only loss was a decision to Shorty Torres over in Brave, and that is a very, very tough opponent for anybody. Really should be in these rankings with these guys. David Dvorak, he's on a 16-fight win streak, winning three since he joined the UFC. And I think he's only going to go from strength to strength. I know we want to see all of these guys move up and fight guys higher up in the division, but there's nobody available. So if those two guys want to fight, that would definitely position one for a high-ranking opponent next time around. The flyweight division is bouncing at the moment, though. I'm really excited to see what happens next with it. Okay, bantamweight. Now, we all need a bit of closure at bantamweight. Aljamain Sterling and Peter Yan need to face off again. There's no doubt about that. Before that happens, the rest of the division kind of can't move. So we're waiting on that matchup happening. There's only one made for the new year, and that is Marlon Moraes against Song Yadong, which is, it's number 9 against number 14. It's a hell of a fight. It's a really fun fight, but it doesn't really affect the top five at all. Between the champion and number 8, where Marlon Vera is, we have no matchups made. So there's a lot of matchups that could happen there. As I said, Sterling v. Yan is the one that makes the most sense. I would also very much like to see Corey Sandhagen and Rob Font face off against one another. They've got similar records, 14-4 for Sandhagen, 19-5 for Rob Font. 4-5 in the rankings, both coming off losses, but both very much in that bracket where they are top contenders in this division. Unfortunately, one is going to have to climb over the body of the other, and that's, you know, the only way we find out these contenders is by matching them against one another. It's a really, really good matchup. I don't really want to see either of those guys pick up a second loss, but I do want to see one of them move back towards a title shot. So that is a fight to make for me. But the main, if I'm picking one fight in this division to make, there's a no-brainer, and one that I feel like has got a time stamp on it. Dominic Cruz and Jose Aldo. So that's Jose Aldo at number 3, 31-7 is his record, currently on a 3-fight win streak, looking better every time. Dominic Cruz at number 7, 24-3 is his record, on a 2-fight win streak. Came through a really rough first round in his last fight and then looked fantastic in the second and third. This is a matchup that I feel, if it's not made almost immediately, we might never see it. We don't know whether Dominic Cruz's next fight is his last or Aldo's is his last, because we don't know how their bodies are holding up, how they're holding up in training camp. You know, Aldo, I'm sure, has been plagued with injuries that he's worked through. Dominic Cruz has been sidelined with injuries a few times that he's had to work through. I would love to see that matchup. Cruz, a footwork specialist. Jose Aldo, a Muay Thai specialist. I mean, you know, it's low kicks against movement. It's wrestling against Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. It's a great matchup to make. And two active legends. You know, I know that word is thrown around a bit too much, but if I look down this division, they're the only two guys that fall into that category for me. And that's, Frankie Edgar's there as well. No disrespect to anybody else, no disrespect to the TJ Dillashaws and stuff, but what Dominic Cruz and Jose Aldo have done in their careers is not comparable. And the fact that they're still competing, we've just got to see them against one another, because I would love to see it personally. But that, again, is another really interesting division that is a bit caught up because of the mess with the title. Okay, featherweight. Only two matchups at featherweight. We've got Calvin Kattar taking on Giga Chikadze, so that's number 5 against number 8. We've also got Edson Barboza taking on Bryce Mitchell, so number 10 against number 11. Not many other matchups in this division made currently. The champion isn't matched, and obviously has got, you know, two wins over Holloway and you know, a win over Ortega. He's a dominant individual in this weight class. We're kind of waiting for a contender to emerge. Now, as of right now, with Kattar against Chikadze, it would make sense to see the winner of that take on Ortega to keep the two fighters, the winner of the Chikadze Kattar fight and Ortega, up in that bracket where they could potentially have a rerun at the belt. The other fight to make for me at the top of the division is Max Holloway against the Korean Zombie. I expect Max Holloway to win, but I also expect it to be an opportunity for him to look really good and to make a good argument for him to get another title shot again. You could make an argument based off that previous performance against Volkanovski, but I think if Holloway does what he did to Calvin Kattar or Yair Rodriguez, if he's able to do that against the Korean Zombie as well, There's no denying that he is worthy of another title shot. And it might just be that currently Max Holloway is the second best featherweight in the world, and Volkanovski might just have his number. But by beating Rodriguez and Korean Zombie and Calvin Kattar, especially in the dominant fashion that he's already nailed two of them, you just can't make an argument for that. And it would be a hell of a fight. And we all know that Korean Zombie has got that one-punch knockout power, same as he used against Moicano over that jab. There's no reason why Chan Sung-jung can't pick up a win here and put himself back in the direction of the title. One of the fights to make in that division is Josh Emmett against Yair Rodriguez. Just a really fun fight to make. A short, stocky, powerful individual. Both specimen athletes, but in very, very different ways. Josh Emmett, I feel, is coming towards the end of his career. I know he's played with injuries. Yair Rodriguez, same kind of situation. That would make sense. Rodriguez at number 3 and Josh Emmett at number 6. Okay, lightweight. Right. Lightweight is... I mean, what a weight class it is. I could give you 100 options of matchups that I would like to see. The only one made for the new year is Dariush against Makhachev at Fight Night 203. Of course, it's going to be a really interesting one, and we all expect the winner of that to move straight towards a title shot. But they do have Gaethje above them, and it would make sense for Gaethje to be positioned in there for a title shot as well, just to keep that belt moving. If not, then Dariush versus Makhachev would certainly define the next contender for that belt. But if we look down the division, I mean, it's just full of superstars. We really are inundated with superstars in this division. I would love to see Poirier against Chandler. I think we've got two old school guys there. I think Poirier's talked about maybe moving up a weight class. You know, if he gets a win over Chandler, he might stick around at lightweight for a little bit longer. Who knows what's going to happen in this weight class. If Gaethje is able to beat Oliveira, that throws a Bengal tiger amongst the pigeons, because that really upsets the division. At the moment, Oliveira is looking like he's holding it down. And while ever he's in that position, Poirier is going to be working hard to get back to a title shot. By moving up a weight class, that does change things somewhat. And, you know, half of the guys at welterweight at the moment used to be lightweight. So there's no reason why Poirier couldn't have success there. But I would like to see him stick around in this weight class, and I would like to see him face Michael Chandler. The other guys in the division, as I'm looking down, I think there are a couple of guys around sort of 10, 11, 12, specifically 10, 11, and 12, who are the next wave of contenders in this division. Gregor Gillespie, I know he's only on a one-fight win streak, but up until the knockout against Kevin Lee, he just looked dominant against everybody. And Gregor Gillespie is someone I would like to see at some point face Makhachev, just based on their different styles of wrestling and to see how they would match up in an MMA fight. As of right now, Gillespie at number 10, I would love to see him fight Mateus Gamrot, who's on a 3-fight win streak. Gamrot's at number 12 at the moment. Gillespie 14-1, Gamrot is 20-1. And where Gillespie's really, really strong in that middle range, controlling the wrestling exchanges and where the fight takes place, Gamrot's an excellent striker with great grappling. So I think that fight complements itself. I think that would be a really, really interesting one. And then one other one I would love to see is one of the old school of the division, Rafael Dos Anjos, currently ranked number 6 in this division. 30-13 is his record. Coming off that win over Paul Felder, taking on Rafael Fiziev. I mean, if I think Muay Thai for MMA, if you think RDA's style, where he kind of stands with that little pulse, the little Muay Thai, boom, 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 and he hammers those low kicks in, he's got great short-range Muay Thai, and then you look at Fiziev, the same thing. I would say RDA is maybe slightly bigger, which gives him which maybe equals the advantage that he has in experience. But Fiziev has got athleticism and speed and power on his side. That is a really good fight to make. I mean, you know, like I said, there are a lot of fights in this division to make, and because it's largely unmatched, you know, we can kind of daydream about what to make. I'll throw one other out there. And the reason I'm throwing this out there is because both of these guys need a win. I don't want to see either of them fall out of the top 10. I would like to see them both progress back up towards the belt, because they're both, you know, fascinating characters. Tony Ferguson against Dan Hooker. Now, I think Tony Ferguson is, of course, towards the end of his career. Dan Hooker at 21-11, he's got to be wondering how much more punishment he can take in this. But I think a fight against Tony Ferguson could be that career-defining fight for both of them, where they either walk away for good or they have one more run at the belt. And I'm not sure which one would come out on top, but I just think it would be an absolute mess of a fight. So I would love to see it. Okay, let's move on. Welterweight. Now, again, no matchups in this division. Not very matched at all, this division isn't. We've got Muslim Salikov at number 15 taking on Michel Pereira, who's unranked at the moment. So the top 14 of the division is untouched. Everybody's kind of sitting waiting for a matchup. Of course, there's a couple of really exciting individuals in this weight class, a couple of undefeated individuals as well, which are kind of stirring the pot a little bit. Usman is in a very strong position with 5 title defenses. Covington's in a really difficult situation where he's lost twice to the champion, but he's still ranked number 1 in the division. Then we've got Gilbert Burns and Leon Edwards after him. Now, Leon Edwards is the next clear contender for me for the belt. The last time he lost was 2015. That was a decision to Usman. And I very much feel like, although he got caught in that last fight against Nate Diaz in the last round, I very much feel like Leon's done the work and he's got the credentials to get a title shot in his next fight. So that's a clear one for me. If I'm making other matchups, I would love to see Gilbert Burns against Bilal Muhammad. I think both of those guys, Bilal Muhammad wins, you know, 3/4 of his fights by decision, and Gilbert Burns is a risk taker. So I feel like that is a good fight to really push Bilal Muhammad and see if we can try and get some finishing rate out of him. I think that's the one thing that's going to hold him back from a title shot, similar to Leon in some ways, you know, that ability to put people away. And that's why, you know, the likes of Khamzat Chimaev, they're rising through the division so quickly, because there's this momentum behind them, this fanfare behind them of people are going, yeah, but they're just stopping people. Like, there's questions as to whether Kamaru Usman could beat Chimaev, and Chimaev is sitting right down at number 11 at the moment. There's a lot of guys for him to go through before he gets a title shot. But I'll be honest, if I look up the division from Khamzat Chimaev's perspective, I don't see much competition. You know, that's why people are having these conversations, whereas the likes of Bilal Muhammad and Leon Edwards, because they're not making it look easy, people aren't assuming it would be easy, in which case they're not that interested to see it. I think Bilal Muhammad against Gilbert Burns is a banger, and I think Gilbert Burns will bring the best out of Bilal Muhammad and find out if he's got championship credentials or not. Leon has done enough to get in there against Kamaru Usman, and I feel like the thing holding him back is the fact that he's just kind of, I don't know, he's been frustrated and angry at the situation. I mean, same thing happened to Anderson Silva when he wanted to fight Roy Jones. You know, he lost interest. We had a couple of really, really poor performances from him against Talish Latus and I think it was Damian Maia. He just didn't do anything. He didn't want to compete. And I'm not saying that's the same with Leon, but I definitely feel like he's holding some in reserve. Like, if we look at Kamaru Usman on his way up to the belt, he even said in his post-fight interviews, that was me at 30%, you know. Like, we might see the best of Leon when he gets that big opportunity. And I think the more he's held back, the more his performances are going to diminish because his heart's maybe not in it. That was a bit of a long tangent on that one. But as I said, with welterweight, there's a lot to be done because there aren't many matchups made. Burns Muhammad makes sense. Usman against Edwards 2 makes sense. I wouldn't mind seeing McGregor Diaz 3. I've talked about that on other videos, but that's an obvious one to make. But if we're looking at actual contenders in this division, Vicente Luque is at number 4, and I feel like he needs that one more career-defining performance to get that title shot. And I feel like Colby Covington is an obvious one for him. You know, there's animosity between the two teams anyway, based on the fact that they're both in Florida, that Vicente Luque is an excellent Muay Thai fighter who's got great takedown defense. That's a good opportunity for him to fight someone comparable to the champion that's not actually his teammate. You know, there's a lot of good reasons to make that fight. Number 4 against number 1. Colby needs another win. He's going to have to fight a contender. You know, it makes sense for him to take someone like Vicente Luque over a roll of the dice and maybe someone like Khamzat Chimaev or Sean Brady, who's the other one I'm watching out for in this division. Chimaev against Sean Brady, the two undefeated guys at welterweight. We've got Brady at 15-0 and we've got Chimaev at 10-0. Both guys look like the sky's the limit. Sean Brady, I mean, he's a powerhouse. He's slightly shorter for this division, but he's got a really strong ground game. He's a physical specimen. He's very tough and durable. He's got good hands as well. I expect him to be able to weather an early storm from Chimaev and maybe push him into the second round. And that's where we get to see what these guys are made of. Chimaev has just looked so good in his recent fights. It's difficult to imagine someone giving him some competition. But one thing I will say is in that wrestling match that he had against Hermanson was able to push him a bit in that fight. You know, it wasn't a fight. you know, if we're looking up the division, it's going to be someone that's got that same kind of presence of Chimaev, the undefeated record, the 15-0. I mean, you could put him in there against someone like Neil Magny or Wonderboy or, you know, Bilal Muhammad. They're not fights that are going to, I don't know. They're not fights that are going to convince me they're going to give him much of an issue, to be honest. I think Chimaev is a very scary individual in this division, but I also think, quietly spoken, Sean Brady is very much a scary individual as well, and he might actually be the one that comes through in the end. You know, Chimaev is making it look very easy, which is why people are really sold on him, but I think someone like a Sean Brady, two undefeated guys, I mean, that is a main event of a fight night, and that is it's a hell of a matchup. I would love to see it. Okay. Is that welterweight done? That is welterweight done. Okay, let's move on to middleweight. So middleweight's a bit matched up. We've got the champion rematching Robert Whittaker, UFC 271. The co-main event of that is Jared Cannonier at number 3 taking on Derek Brunson. So a lot's going to be happening in the middleweight division at UFC 271. We've also got Strickland at number 7 taking on Hermanson, ranked at number 6, and that's fight night 201. So the rest of the division's kind of open. There's a lot of guys that are still kind of floating around waiting for matchups, but they do seem to be down the lower end of the rankings. What do we have? We have Marvin Vettori is available, coming off that win over Paulo Costa. We have Darren Till available, coming off that loss to Derek Brunson. That's a fight I would like to see, just because I think it would be a lot of fun to watch. But the one that makes the most sense is Darren Till against Paulo Costa, because Costa's at number 5. He's coming off that loss to Marvin Vettori. That would be number 5 against number 7. 13-2 for Paulo Costa against 18-4-1 for Darren Till. I just feel like Darren Till might have the striking skills to negate the size difference. So I know Darren Till, he's the gorilla, he's a big dude, but compared to Paulo Costa, who probably should be a light heavyweight, Darren Till's going to look slightly smaller, but he'll also probably be quicker. And he'll also probably have a bit more pop on his punches because of the way he delivers and his precision. I think Paulo Costa showed his game a little bit against Adesanya. I think we saw him biting on feints and stuff that Darren Till would be able to do very well. But the point is, both of those guys need a win. Both of those guys are in the top 10 and we'd like to see them progress. So that is a fight that makes a lot of sense. The other one that I'm watching out for, and this is someone I've been paying close attention to after his last couple of fights, is Andre Muniz. So Andre Muniz is currently ranked number 13. He's coming off that armbar win over Eric Anders, but you'll also remember him breaking Jacare's arm with the same submission. He's 22-4 currently on an 8-fight win streak. Now, call me old school, but I'd like to see a striker v grappler matchup. So I'm looking up the division at who I'd like to see him face. And you know, if I look at the guys above him, Imavov, Tavares and Gastelum, they don't interest me too much, especially after Gastelum lost that submission to Hermanson. I would like to see Muniz face Uriah Hall, though, because the question around Uriah Hall is, can he land his strikes before he gets clinched and closed down? And the question with Muniz is, can he get his hands on them before they catch him with something? And if anyone's going to catch him with something spectacular and knock him out, it's going to be someone like Uriah Hall, who's got those lovely counter-striking skills where he's able to read people level changing like he did against Musasi. But that for me is another interesting matchup at middleweight. So I've got Till versus Costa. I've got Uriah Hall versus Muniz. And then at some point in the future, I'd love to see Vettori fight Whittaker, just because I think stylistically that'd be a fun one as well. Okay, light heavyweight. 2 weight classes to go. I hope you're staying with me, and I hope you're taking some of this in, because I'm throwing loads of information at you. So light heavyweight has got 3 matchups in the top 15. We've got the former champion Jan Błachowicz, currently ranked number 1, taking on Alexander Rakic, who's ranked number 3. We have Thiago Santos taking on Magomed Ankalaev, who is the scary dude in the division. And then we have Johnny Walker at number 10 taking on Jamal Hill at number 12. So a few guys scattered around in the division that aren't matched yet. It seems obvious that Glover Teixeira is going to get Jiří Prochazka next. Prochazka's 28th, 3-1 on a 12-fight win streak. Glover Teixeira is on a 6-fight win streak, not yet defended his belt, but you know, they're the only two guys in the top five that are on a decent win streak. The next one is Anthony Smith at 3. So Prochazka, I feel like, even though he's only had 2 fights in the UFC, has positioned himself quite clearly for a title shot. So that's the obvious one that makes sense for me. As I move down the division, at number 7 and number 8, we have Dominic Reyes and Volkan Ozdemir. Now, they fought once before. It was a split decision to Reyes, and it was a controversial one. A lot of people argued that Ozdemir won it. They've both come off a loss. Reyes lost with the knockout loss to Prochazka, and Ozdemir with his loss to Ankalaev. It would make sense for those two guys to rematch, just because we need a win on one of their records. There's a bit of history there, a bit of controversy there. It would make sense to make that matchup once more. Dominic Reyes is above him, so he is the one that's taking the risk, but he is in a position where he needs to, unfortunately, picking up, you know, he's on a bit of a losing streak at the moment. So, facing someone that he's already beaten, in his head, he might feel like he can do it better, get rid of the controversy and get back in the win column. And same thing for Ozdemir. You know, I think he's alternating wins and losses at the moment. He's right up there, but he's not quite. And, you know, Dominic Reyes is the next obvious step. Okay. Underneath that, we have Nikita Krylov. I think he's a dangerous fight for anybody in this division. I think he's a very skilled individual. But the matchup I'm going to make out of the remaining unmatched people is number 11, Paul Craig, on a 3-fight win streak after that, the floppy arm elbows against Jamal Hill. I'd like to see him take on Anthony Smith at number 4. Now, I know that is a bit of a jump, and there's not really a reason for Anthony Smith to take that fight, but Smith's been up to the top, not quite managed it, and fell back down again. He's in this bit of a holding pattern now, where he needs to keep adding wins to his record before he starts looking up the rankings. And I think someone like Paul Craig is a fight that Anthony Smith will take. He'll feel like he can probably beat him in the striking range, and he's comparable with jiu-jitsu. So I think that's a really interesting matchup for Anthony Smith to consider. On Paul Craig's part, he was matched up with Gustafsson, and that was a golden ticket fight. You know, a win there really puts him in a strong position to call for title shots and super fights and all kinds of things. That fight didn't happen. So to then offer him someone like an Anthony Smith, that would be a good consolation opportunity. It was a very, very difficult fight, don't get me wrong. But Paul Craig could have just as difficult a fight against Nikita Krylov, in my opinion. So I'd like to see him get the opportunity to have that jump up the rankings and take on Anthony Smith. But as I said, I mean, there's loads of movement in this division. I think, you know, we've got 3 matchups to be had, and we've got a few guys that are unmatched. So I think we're going to see some new matchups coming up in the new year. But I would love to see Reyes Ozdemir rematch, and I'd love to see Paul Craig get that opportunity against Anthony Smith. Okay. Heavyweights, the big boys. Right, again, another division that's not really very heavily matched. We've got 2 matchups in the top 15. We've got Cyril Gane, who's the interim champion, taking on Francis Ngannou, who's the current champion. Fingers crossed for that one. Of course, there's a bit of tension and stuff at the moment, so I'm hoping that fight holds together. That's the main event of UFC 270. We've also got Tom Aspinall at number 10 taking on Shamil Abdurakhimov at number 8. That's at Fight Night 205. Aside from that, the heavyweight division is pretty much wide open. So we've got Stipe at number 2, who hasn't fought since his loss to Ngannou. We've got Derek Lewis coming off his very recent win over Chris Daukaus. Curtis Blaydes beat Rozenstruik. Volkov beat Tibora. And then we've got Rozenstruik, who's coming off a loss, as well as Daukaus, Abdurakhimov, Tibora. So there's a bit of a clear gap in this division for me, and I think that I don't think Stipe is going to get a title shot by just waiting. I think he's going to have to take on someone else. So that leaves him a few options. It leaves him taking on Derek Lewis, which I think is probably a more winnable fight than the other two guys. Although the danger that Derek Lewis poses to Miocic is great, and we do know that Miocic has been clipped in his last fight and knocked out. So I wouldn't mind seeing him fight someone that's not quite as big of a puncher, if I'm honest. If I'm Stipe, I'm looking at Curtis Blaydes, who would be a knight of wrestling and takedown defense, which doesn't really set him up very well for a title shot. Or you could see Stipe fight Alexander Volkov, and that might give him flashbacks of his loss to Stefan Struve, because he struggled with the reach and height of Stefan Struve in that one, and Alexander Volkov's got a win over Struve. So I know it's a bit of a long-winded match to make, but I feel like Stipe could overcome some demons if he gets a win over Alexander Volkov. And most likely he's going to get the full distance of the fight to do it because Volkov is a decision fighter. So that would be a much safer opportunity for Miocic. I think Curtis Blaydes will be a long night and it'll be an exhausting night, and you've got to hope that's 15 minutes instead of 25. And I think Derek Lewis is just fine until he catches you with that big shot that he did against Volkov. So Stipe's in a bit of an awkward situation. I wouldn't mind seeing him fight any of those three guys, really. But, you know, he's got to kind of weigh up the risk to reward, because he's not going to get a title shot just by waiting around. I think if he takes out Derek Lewis, that puts him in a clear position. But again, there is a risk to that. A couple of other matchups in this division. Chris Daukaus, who, you know, I'm a big fan of, although he's coming off that loss to Derek Lewis, I still feel like he's got a lot to give in this division. And I feel the same about Marcin Tybura. So both guys were on a win streak. Marcin Tybura was on a 5-fight win streak, and Daukaus was, I can't remember what win streak he was on, but it was a good one. He, you know, it was four or five in the UFC. Anyway, the point is both of these guys were streaking until they ran into their last opponent. Tybura lost a decision to Volkov, and Daukaus got stopped by Derek Lewis. It makes sense for those two guys to face one another. I think they're very similar in their skills. I think Chris Daukaus is probably slightly quicker, but he is the lighter of the two fighters. Tybura comes in right towards the top of the division. And I think that their grappling is comparable as well. I'm pretty sure Tabora's got his black belt now, and we know that Daukaus is also a black belt. So that might be a very good mixed martial arts fight between two big guys. And I would love to see that. But the striker in me has got one matchup that I would love to make, and that is Taito Avata against Jairzinho Rozenstruik. So Rozenstruik's sitting at number six at the moment, 12-3 is his record. Taito Avata, 13-3, but on a 4-fight win streak. Now, Rozenstruik's got a decent record in kickboxing, 64-3, I think his record is in kickboxing. That's off the top of my head, so I apologize if it's wrong. But he's got lots of kickboxing experience. He's also naturally very heavy-handed, so we know what he's bringing to the table. He's almost definitely not going to want to grapple with Taito Avata. Tuivasa's almost definitely not going to want to grapple with him. So we've got a striking match between a seasoned kickboxer and a seasoned street fighter is what this fight would be. And I don't see either of them holding back. I think Taito Avata takes enough risks to force this fight to move forward. And I think Rozenstruik's got enough good counter-striking skills. Think back to the Arlovsky fight. I think he's got enough counter-striking skills to make it a very risky thing for Taito Avata to just crash forward recklessly. I think that would be an absolute dynamite of a fight. So Taito Avata against Rozenstruik is my number one pick for heavyweight. Daukaus against Tybura, I think, makes a lot of sense for both of those guys. And then we've got a bit of a triangle going on here with Miocic, Volkov, and Blaydes. I think Lewis is kind of sitting outside of that right now. If I was him, I'd be waiting on that shot against Ngannou, or perhaps Gann if he wins, but we'll see. Oh, right, I think I've thrown enough information at you there. I hope that's made some sense. Put your thoughts in the comments below. I want to know what matchups you'd like to see and what weight classes. I've got a couple of super fights that I've been thinking about as well. I think Vittori against Chimaev would be a hell of a super fight. Of course, we need to see John Jones against Ngannou. And as I said, I would like to see Diaz against McGregor 3, especially to tie off Nate's UFC contract. Maybe let him go on a good payday and see where he finds himself next. But we know that's probably not going to happen. I'm just being hopeful. Right. I hope that made sense. I'll catch you next time. Have a good 2022. Happy New Year.